Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome you another evening with New Beginnings Ministry. I am John, and Dr. Suzanne is kind of ill this evening, but you know, we're going to continue. We thank you for tuning in. Again, this is Blog Talk Radio. And for those of you that's listening, we do thank you for joining in. If you have an opportunity that you would like to participate, we offer you to call the number 347-237-4054. And when you call that number, you will get connected. And after you get connected, then if you would like to participate, then you will hit number one. And once you hit number one, there is a microphone that comes up on our computer, and we click that microphone, and then you're allowed to interact and, you know, just share with us what the Word of God is saying. This is a beautiful evening. This evening we have Minister James Gary from out of New Jersey, and he is going to be talking about how we see God, how we see God, clearing our vision. I'm excited to hear what the Lord has placed on his heart to share with us this evening, and I'm, you know, praying that you are looking for the same thing. But before we get started, we would like to have prayer. Father, we thank you for joining in, tuning in at this time. Lord, we pray that you would just bless us, bless this evening. Lord, we ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just open our ears, Heavenly Father, that we might be able to hear, that you would just unveil the mysteries of your word, Heavenly Father, as we communicate what thus says the Lord. Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, for the sick and afflicted. Lord, we pray for those, Heavenly Father, who are in hospitals. Lord, we pray for those, Heavenly Father, who are in need financially. Lord, Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, for all those that are in need. Lord, Father, we pray for the hearers. We pray also for the doers, Heavenly Father. Lord, we also ask, Heavenly Father, that you would bless. We had a special prayer, Heavenly Father, for a Tina, Heavenly Father, who is having a heart problems, Heavenly Father. She's receiving a heart catheter tomorrow morning. Lord, we pray blessings upon her this evening as well. Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity for all of your brothers and sisters, all your children, Heavenly Father, to come together, Heavenly Father, just to be able to hear and communicate on the Word of God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless it through in and throughout, and we will give you the praise. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now we're going to tune in and to New Jersey for Minister James Gary, who is going to share with us some things. And please have, if you have an opportunity, if there's something that you would like to ask, can we ask that you would just, you know, just tune in and chime in. Once we see your microphone, we know that you have a question, and I'm sure that Minister Gary would be more than willing to share or unveil or help you and I understand where the questions that you're asking. Minister Gary, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Praise the Lord. Good evening. It's good to see you. Good to hear from you. How are you?
Yes, it's very, very blessed to be here today. It's quite cold and windy night, Wednesday night. I hope everyone's staying warm today, and we're just blessed to be in the presence of the Lord today.
Amen, amen. Truly, truly, truly. It's kind of cold here as well, and, you know, isn't it a blessing we can just communicate, you know, over the airways and just to just lift up the name of Jesus. And, you know, I'm sure that your topic this evening is going to be a blessing. So, you know, we're just excited to hear what the Lord has placed on your heart, and we're just open for and ready to receive right now.
Amen, amen. Well, first off, I'd like to just mention that these teachings are from what we call the Elijah House, and it's a program that's it's pretty much going on nationwide, but it's a movement to bring God's people back together, to break the chains that the enemy has placed on us generationally. And we're just trying and working with the Holy Spirit to break these chains of bondage that hold so many people back and cause broken relationships and all types of disorder in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to thank the staff up at Calvary Temple in Wayne, New Jersey, Reverend D there, and the whole pastoral team there for offering this course. And I'd just like to mention that there's a course coming up in September. It's called Elijah House Basic 1. And I encourage our listeners to register for that so that you can get healed even further than this small period of time that we dedicate right now can give you. So you'll be guaranteed to be full and blessed. Amen?
Amen. 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 Always looking to get blessed, always. God is in the healing business.
Yes, indeed. Well, tonight we're going to continue on with the pattern that we set, where we first talked about bitterroot judgments and expectations and how they tend to impact our lives and negatively and cause problems later in life as we get a little bit older. We also talked about in our last discussion honoring the honor system, honoring father and mother, and how those bitterroot judgments that we make even on our parents, how they can make our lives not go well.
Amen.
And teachings are based on Scripture, always based on Scripture, and we do it in a spirit of setting God's people free.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight's discussion will pretty much follow suit in that line and build on what we've already discussed. For listeners that are checking in for the first time, these teachings are available on podcasts, and so you can catch up with us at a later date. But tonight we'll just press in and move forward.
Amen.
I want to mention also,
just as a reminder for those that are tuning in again or listening in, if you would like to tune in and if there are questions, the number is 347-237-4054, and just hit 1, and that will open up the mics so that we can allow you to interact or ask any questions at any time.
Amen. Amen. So as always, I just like to open up with a small prayer to cover us during this time of teaching so that we can usher in the Holy Spirit to just bless everyone that is in the on the call or on the program tonight and that will call in, and to inspire them to even call in to just press in for any issues that they've had, and perhaps they will be broken free of any bondages that have been in their lives and on them. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this night of fellowship. Lord God, we ask that you will bless us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. For those that don't know your Spirit, Lord God, you are the God that does good things for us, that gives good tidings and just fills us completely each and every day, Lord. For those that don't even know you, Lord God, we ask, Lord, that you would usher in your Holy Spirit and touch each and every person, that they will even see your word in a different light, and that, Lord God, that their eyes will be open, the eyes of their heart, Lord, and that your Shekinah glory will shine in, and that they, too, will be given as salt and life and
yes.
light for this world and for a better life here on this earth, Lord, so that we can be better prepared for the blessings that you have for us after this life. So, Lord, bless this ministry, New Beginnings Ministry, and bless myself as well as Brother John and Sister Suzanne and all of the listeners, Lord. Let not the enemy steal any word or any gesture from your word and from their lives and our lives, Lord. So we ask you to bless us tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so honoring father and mother was something that was a very good teaching. I actually was blessed through that teaching, and I hope others were as well. But tonight we're going to talk about how we see God and how we clear our own vision. And we start off with a reading from Proverbs 20:20 from the NAS version of the Bible. And that starts with, "He who curses his father or mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness." Now, we've all experienced times of darkness in our lives where it could be from the loss of a loved one. It could be from the loss of a job, loss of a relationship, of someone that you truly, truly loved. These are what we call dark times, times when there's so much pressure that coming from outside that you just don't know what to do and you want to pull out your hair. Brother John, I'm sure you've experienced some times like that at some point.
Amen. Amen.
So tonight we're going to talk about that, and it's important for us to have a very good relationship with our Father in heaven. And the reason why we have to have this is so that in our time of need, in our time of darkness, that the light which he gives us, which he shines through us, will not go out. And we will not just be on our own to fight and get through situations. Because what does God tell us? He tells us that we can do nothing without him. So in other words, we're guaranteed to fail outside of him. Mm. And keep in mind that success is not just the monetary piece that you receive from, say, doing a good job or becoming like a billionaire, having a great business. Because as we know, we can look at Hollywood and we see that there are people with a lot of money there, but they go through very many marriages. They end up having a lot of challenges. They regularly see psychiatrists, a lot of calamity. And they're probably not the best example for God's people. Mm-hmm. So it's important to know that monetary gains does not equal peace and the joy that we receive from God, which is the most important thing that you can hope for, because this sustains you no matter what time it is, whether it's a time of greatness or a time of darkness. The Lord will sustain you. Amen?
Amen. Yes, he will. Yes,
now,
he will.
Throughout our infancy and childhood, fathers and mothers model a picture of God for us. So it's important to understand that that our parents, remember, we're all created in the image of God, so our parents are also created in the image of God, but they're given a higher authority over us as their children to guide us in the way we should go. So what happens is, based on the way that our parents act and what they do, what we see, we kind of put into our heads, we build a picture or a construct in our minds, whether it's spoken or not spoken, of what God is like. And we interpret each succeeding experience through the lenses of our own judgments and the judgments and expectations that we have developed in response to what has been done to us in the past. And that could be stuff done to us by our parents, by teachers, by anyone that was in authority over us. And not necessarily even authority over us, even some lateral things can cause these judgments to cloud our vision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if we've made a lot of judgments, our view of life and of God becomes tainted or distorted. And by the time we reach adulthood, our minds may have been taught to believe that God loves us and desires to bless us, but we have that somewhat of a friendly type of voice that tells our minds, hey, oh, yeah, he's just like our dad or just like our mom.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, we're not capable of seeing life as it truly is, and as a result, we're not able to see God as he is and as he sees us. So our experiences with our parents have given us what we call tinted glasses or tinted spectacles. So, in other words, each person is walking around with their own set of shades. That is, if you have not been set free from this bondage, everything you see, everything that you interpret, goes through a filter, the filter of your mind. So that filter serves as just like sunglasses on the beach. If you want to filter out the brightness of that light, you put on shades. Well, same thing happens in terms of receiving our ability to receive the blessings of God into our lives and understand that they are from God. So depending on those judgments that we've made, it blocks our ability to see, yeah, this is from God, not just from my own work or not just from a person that was gracious to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to note that until confession, repentance, forgiveness, and our old ways of seeing things are brought to death on the cross, we will not be able to perceive God clearly. So this is a very, very, very important thing to realize. And we all should want to see God clearly.
Amen.
So it's important for us to transform. We have to transform our inner self. And we can do so. I just want the listeners to just think of just a few series of questions. And interpersonally, that means inside yourself, respond to the questions, and you can even call in later with your answers if you like. But I want you to think about these as we go through the discussion tonight and the teaching tonight. One, did you receive clean and affectionate touch from your father, okay, and from your mother? Two, were you held on their laps? In other words, did they cuddle you on their laps? Three, did they read stories to you? Do you have fond memories of your father or mother reading stories? Okay. Four, did they work long hours away from home? And again, your father and your mother, I'd like you to kind of make mental notes to yourself for each one. Five, did they affirm or criticize your behaviors? The next one, could you confide in them? Could you tell them your secrets? Could you tell them how you felt about different things? And the last one, did they discipline you? Do you feel that they disciplined you? When they did discipline, did they discipline you fairly? Were they fair with you? Okay? So think about these questions to yourself, and just get in touch with your inner, with what we call the inner man, your inner self, and consider these questions and your responses to these for later if as you call in.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about, for a moment, our relationship with God. Believe it or not, many Christians have problems coming into a relationship with God the Father. Many go to church, many read the Bible, many give tithes and offerings, but oftentimes it's done out of a sense of necessity, oh, I have to do this, or out of more like a routine type of thing, and sometimes out of just a characteristics of a particular religion. That you may do this. And the problem with that is that with our heads, we know his abundant love is available to us, but the problem is we have made decisions in our hearts which block that relationship with him. Remember, Jesus came to abolish religion. Religion is not what we want. It's not what God wants. God does not want religion. He wants relationship.
Amen.
So traditions are fine, and they have their place. But overall, what God wants from us is a relationship. No different than a father that's been estranged from his daughter or son. No different than a child that's been put up for adoption when they feel that need, that yearning to, who is my father? And the beautiful thing about this is that God put this, what we call a God-shaped void, in each and every one of us so that we have that yearning that no one else can fill except him. And he even put that in us for even our parents.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why if a kid is separated, they can still have that yearning to know who they're, just to know who he is and, or who she is in the case of a mother. Now, we talked about bitter root judgments before, and we know how dangerous these things are and how they force this very thing that we judged a person for or a parent for to happen in our own lives. It's kind of like the scenario of when you point a finger at someone, you have three fingers and one thumb pointing back at you. It's that same scenario. You almost doom yourself in a sense. In fact, you do doom yourself to repeat that same, very same action that you're judging. So that's why the Lord tells us to judge not, that we may not be judged. For the same measure that we judge is the same measure will be that we will be judged. So keep that in mind. So children judge parents. Children form both accurate and inaccurate perceptions about their parents. These perceptions are later color the relationship that they have with their parents, and most importantly, the relationship that they have with God once they become adults.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Anger is kept inside. And as children, we really don't know how or what to forgive for. You know, we have to learn how to forgive. And even now, as adults, many people think that forgiving and forgetting is something that's simple. Or they'll say, oh, I can forgive, but I can never forget. Well, if you've never taken it to the cross, you've never truly forgiven. You've just suppressed it. And that's whether you remember the offense against you or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there's a danger in that, which you probably remember or recall from our teaching in the Bitter Root section. The other important thing to note is that suppressed anger and resentments become our glasses or tinted or shades in which we see God through. So if someone harmed you, if a man, like a perfect example would be, remember we talked about bitter root expectation, if a man hurts a woman in a relationship, she can create a bitter root judgment and judge all men based on the relationship she had with one man and say things like, all men are bad or all men are dogs. And what she does is because of that judgment, she in fact causes something to happen in her soul, her inner spirit, that causes her, no matter who she gets involved with, for them to carry out that behavior. So, in other words, those judgments and expectations are those goggles. They're tinted, you know, tinted glasses that we put on, and they make us incapable of seeing God the way he really is and how good he really is. Let's speak from the Gospel of Matthew. I'm reading from Matthew 6:22-23 in the NIV version of the Bible. For emphasis here, it says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" You see, these judgments not only block our vision in terms of clearly seeing God, but it taints our entire body. It comes out in our every action, our speech, our hearing. A person can speak one way to us, and we can interpret it through our filters or these glasses and actually see it in a different way or hear it in a different way and think it means something else and actually live it and believe it and judge the person even further based on those that darkness that we create for ourselves based on the law of God here. Another one is from the Gospel of Matthew is Matthew 5:8. And I read from the NAS version, which reads, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God."
Amen.
Are we making a connection here? See, this is God's word. Different, and I'm teaching it differently than you probably ever heard or really thought about it before. But God's word is truth, and we can press in and lean into it and receive truth into our very hearts. And that will our relationship with God and make us stronger. Okay, so blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So until we develop that pure heart, a heart almost as pliable and malleable as children. See, children are very formative. You know, they take what you tell them and believe it's true until they get older and find out differently. So we must be as children, our hearts must be able to be shaped towards truth, the truth that God speaks to us,
mm-hmm.
and able to see God in this light. I'm sure, John, you want to see God more clearly. I know I pray for it each day. What
Amen.
Do you think?
Amen.
What do you think?
Every day, daily.
Yeah.
I think we all strive to to see God more clearly.
Mm. Yes. So, and I'll read from 1 John 4:19 through verse 21. Give our listeners a chance to get there. 1 John 4:19 through 21, and this is from the NAS version. And I may jump between versions just a little bit, just for emphasis, because as we know, if anyone's on the call, or actually on the radio right now, tonight, if you speak another language, you know that in translations, you know, depending on how well you speak that original language will determine how well you can emphasize the things that will be emphasized in another language. But the meaning is the same, and that's what we look at. So in 1 John 4:19-21, we read, "We love because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his own brother, or hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that is, that the one who loves God should love his brother also."
Amen.
So, in other words, we're commanded. Again, these are all in God. His word is so powerful. He can use different people to say the same thing, but delve in just slightly differently and touch us in ways that we never thought we could be touched. So here you have you and John essentially saying the same thing, and you know, that we cannot see God, we can't love God if we don't even love our brother who we see. So this is all connection to love and what we see. It's all connected. All connected.
Amen.
So whenever or wherever resentment, bitterness, or judgment is lodged in our hearts against our parents, our spirit is darkened. And in that area, we cannot really know God. So in other words, if we judge our parents because they put us on punishment, because we stayed out late, we played video games, and we judge them rather than first judge ourselves, hey, I knew I had a curfew, for instance, would be the proper judgment. If we judge our parents that way, it impacts our ability to see God, because, in a sense, when we do something against God and it goes wrong with us, not because God punished us for it, but just because it wasn't a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And good thing is not blessed. So we're basically one on our own. If that happens and something bad happens as a result of it, immediately many people tend to look at God and say, God, you know, it judged God based on, and believe it or not, we can even judge God based on the fact that this thing happened. So it's very important to understand those judgments that we make. And that, remember, what does God tell us? He tells us he's good. How often is he good? How often is he good, Brother John?
All the time.
Amen. All the time. So these are the truths that we have to speak, we have to believe, we have to speak, and we have to receive whenever that healthy dose of doubt tries to douse itself onto our hearts and onto our minds.
Mm-hmm.
So as we started in Proverbs 20:20, we said, "He who curses his father or curses his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness." And further, in Hebrews 12, 14 through 15. Again, these are all examples of seeing God. What prevents us from seeing God clearly? Here in Hebrews, we read, "Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it, many be defiled." So again, the word there is see. He tells us, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Also, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. Well, guess what? If we can't see God, aren't we doomed to always fall short of the grace of God?
Mm.
Those bad situations happen if we can't see God because of the judgments, and it's not because God doesn't want us to see him. It's because of our own actions. Yeah, it's a given. We can't, and sometimes we can't change the bad things that happen to us. However, we are 100% responsible for our reaction to it. Because our reaction to that thing actually will control how we see God, and not only that, what happens beyond today. Your reaction affects what happens tomorrow and beyond. So let's always be quick to listen, quick to go to prayer, to seek God's face in these situations that we don't get a picture of God, and that we don't get bitter because of it, and as a result, walk around in bitterness and defile other people. Defile other people, meaning that we gave the example in some of the earlier teachings of how I like to use the motor vehicle, because motor vehicle centers tend to have a lot of people there, and you know, those people behind the counter are just not always the nicest people, because they've dealt with so many people that have given them trouble. So in a sense, their eyes are tainted, and there's a bitterness that happens and that comes out, and you could be the nicest person, but they don't care. Get in the back of the line, that type of thing. So, you know, but you've been in these places, or even in a classroom, thinking more of a college, and the person can come into a room and you feel that heaviness over the room that comes in when that enters the room. That's what we call defilement. It's like their spirit is or that darkness that's in their spirit because of these judgments, it sort of like glooms over the area. It's almost like a doom and gloom type of feeling. So these things that happen as a result of roots of bitterness, things that we said we forgave people for, but we didn't really forgive them for, we pressed it down. And then what happens is, if the person did offend us, we almost in a sense tempt them to offend us again and again and again. And so it's important to realize that these things are happening and they're functional. These are not things, these are constructs, these are things that you can see in your life every day. And that's how real God is. He's involved in our everyday life. His laws are all around us. They touch us in the most sensitive places in our hearts. As long as we prevent our conscience from becoming seared, we can always receive the goodness of his grace. And Amen. And again, he says here, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. And that's Hebrews 12:14-15. Now, when we grow into adulthood, we can't put away childish ways of thinking or feeling and seeing unless Jesus crucifies our old ways. So sometimes when things are happening in our lives that are not necessarily, that we don't necessarily see as good, because let's think about this quite frankly, no one likes to receive a beating from their parents. No one mm-hmm. likes that spanking. And that spanking is good for the person, and this is, we're not talking abuse here, but it's good for the person because we want to nurture the soul, and we're corrected. God can do what we call chastise us whenever. And remember, the point is, your parent, just like God, is trying to get good out of a bad situation or something that happened to us. And there's all levels of chastisement that we won't get into. That's almost a teaching in itself, but it's important to know that because of these things happening, we can sometimes judge our parents and judge our God. And that is what causes us to see through these tainted glasses. And it is why it's very important that we crucify, we judge ourselves, meaning that we compare ourselves, what we did, the result that we got, and it's, you know, the world calls it self-reflection. in a lot of the secular books, you'll see, oh, self-reflection. But really, what that is we're looking at ourselves and we're judging ourselves so that we can become better people. We're judging our results. We're judging what happened. And these are things that are good because we're building a discernment for the future. Our discernment works in the future, and it also works in the present based on our past.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So it's very important that we build that level of discernment, and that is the reason why sometimes if we can't see it and we can't crucify that ourselves, meaning that we don't know how to take it to the cross and pray about it and nail it to the cross just as Jesus was, because remember, he died for our sin. And remember, sin means nothing other than missing God's mark
or missing
the best for your life. So whenever we live and we're not receiving God's best, you can call that sinning, because we must have stepped off the path that he had for us, and his path is the best path. There is no better path. And eventually, sometimes it takes us to we're in our 40s to realize, whoa, we got to make a right turn, because the left is a wrong turn. Somewhere back there, I made a left turn and I should have made a right turn, right being the rightness of God. So it's important to understand that. And what does God's scripture or word say about this? Well, if we turn for a moment to 1 Corinthians 13, 11 through 12 in your Bible.
Mr. Gary?
Yes?
I want to, is there anyone that has any questions so far for Minister Gary, anything that God has laid on your heart or something that you would like to share with you? I see, 216 number. Do you have a question at this time?
John, that's probably me. I just joined the the study. I was late getting on, so I'm just happy to be here. I'm listening and learning.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning in with us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Anyone else is listening, keep in mind, 347-237-4054. We're on with Minister Gary out of New Jersey, and we are, discussing clearing our eyes and how we see God, and clearing one's vision. And that's our discussion. So again, if you have a question, please don't hesitate to hit number one, and we will address your questions. Okay, God bless you.
Amen. Amen. And we're building on our previous teaching on Bitterroot judgments and parts one and two, and also honoring father and mother, God's honor system. So we're building on that to an end, and that end is to break the chains of bondage that the enemy has placed on you, on your family, on your children, and intends to continue precedent until what does God tell us? He wants to kill, steal, or destroy from us. Okay? So that's the purpose of these teachings, and why I'm coming in to New Beginnings Ministry to just spread the word of Christ. My home church is Christ Church in Montclair, and I also would like to just mention again that you can get a full teaching. This full teaching, as well as a multitude of others, through a Calvary Temple in Wayne, New Jersey, through Reverend D, who actually is my instructor, and you can really get some really good insight on life and the Bible, really God's Word, just have it come alive off the pages, and we get away from just remembering Scripture and to allow in order to allow God's Word to fill us, flow through us, and into our destiny, which are the blessings of Abraham for our lives. See, we were grafted into the kingdom through Abraham, okay? We're basically grafted in with Jews into God's kingdom through Abraham. by way of Christ Jesus. So keep this in mind. Keep this in mind that we are the recipients of the blessings of Abraham because we were grafted in. As Gentiles, we were grafted in. If we believe in Christ, we're grafted in. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we're reading now from 1 Corinthians 13, 11 through 12. Chapter 13, 11 through 12. And I'm using the NIV version here, and it reads, "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." That's 1 Corinthians 13, 11 through 12. And then we read, if you can turn to Ephesians 1, 18 through 19. Okay, Ephesians 1, verses 18 and 19, and that is in the NAS version that I'm going to read from. Again, the emphasis in the interpretation or the actual language that is used for emphasis is slightly different, so I'll just kind of gloss between the two versions for your edification. And here we read, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the workings of the strength of his might." And I add, in our lives. So these things, as our vision becomes clearer, as we see God more clearly, as we hear his word more clearly, these things are blessings that will come to us, that we will be able to see, and we will be able to know the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us. Remember, toward us who believe. Not towards your neighbor, not towards everyone else in the world, unless they believe. Okay? They must believe. Because if we go to a person and ask them, "Hey, can you give me a hand with this?" Unless we believe that person is there, first and foremost, that he exists. Okay? We don't go to our parents and ask for something unless we know that our parents exist. We have to acknowledge, first, that they exist, two, that they are our parents, and three, that they will bless us if we ask. Mm-hmm. Or else, if we knew that they wouldn't bless us, we wouldn't bother asking. We go to someone else, our friends or someone else, right? So these are the same principles that we learn from our parents. And based on whether or not we judge them will affect whether or not we, in a sense, are seeing God clearly, or in a sense, judging God from that relationship or lack of relationship, okay? So it's important to note here, too, that despite your relationship with your mother or father, and again, whether they are it's a stranger or not, you too can be set free, because forgiveness is a beautiful thing. It's a gift, and it's a gift from God. And through God, and in God, through Christ Jesus, we can receive this. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's get on parents. Enough of the children now. Let's get on parents for a little bit. Parents, you know, to who much is given, much will be asked. So, what is the parents' role? Well, the parents, especially fathers, God puts a lot more pressure on the fathers, are to build each child's spirit through, one, love. What is love? Love is care, nurture, encouragement. Just in a nutshell, those are some simple examples of love. Care, nurture, and encouragement. Two, through discipline. Teaching, believe it or not, teaching is a discipline, is disciplining. Holding our children accountable. but most importantly, drawing boundaries. Because the boundaries that we set as parents will be the boundaries that our children set when they're adults, because they learned from us. It's more than likely true that this will be the pattern, because if our parents were bad and we came out good, unless we continually press into Christ, we too can find ourselves in that same situation because of the curse of all the things and judgments that we made. Because believe it or not, if a child comes from a family that was a fighting family and a lot of cursing in the home and those things in that nature, maybe perhaps dysfunctional, maybe one parent wasn't there or absentee parent, whatever the case is, believe it or not, sometimes we'll see a kid that comes from what we call the school of hard knocks, if you will, and they flourish as adults. But guess what? They flourish because in many cases, they'll use the judgments that they made against their parents. I'll give you a perfect example. And then when I say judgments, I mean good or bad, okay? Or, you know, good or bad. Saying something like, I'm going to be just like my father is a judgment, is basically a judgment that we're making. Well, guess what? Maybe God didn't design you to be just like your father, okay? So if you're trying to pattern your life to be just like your father, perhaps you are missing the mark of God. Meaning, in other words, you're sinning. You could be sinning and off the path. But what does God tell us? He tells us the truth is, and we have to speak the truth, he wants us to be like Christ. That's the truth.
Amen.
Okay? So that could be a judgment that we spoke that we can be taking literally and running with it, but we could be missing it. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. If your father was prominent and a good person, it's not necessarily a bad thing to have some of his attributes, but you don't want to be just like your father, because God made your father. We're all unique creations. He created each and every one, fashioned us before we were even in the womb to be individuals that will worship him and love others. So in the case of a child that's coming through a situation that, you know, where maybe the household was dysfunctional and they come out and they're successful, in many cases, that person or that child, as they grow into adulthood, what gave them the energy and the motivation and things of that nature could have been bad judgment or judgments, which were bad things because, again, it causes the cycle to continue once they become adults and start their own families. So it's important to know that even though you may have been gotten out of that situation, now we need to break the curse. And that's the curse of all that bad stuff that happened, all of those bad words that were spoken over you. Because we know that words have power. Words are life. God spoke everything into being. So we know that. And scientists are proving every day now new things that confirm God's word, which said he spoke these things to existence. In fact, they have this instrument called the tonograph, which actually they recorded or actually had people speak like in tongues and different tongues and languages and actually see sand form into crystals and things of that nature. So when we speak, we cause change to happen, and most importantly, in our lives. So when we speak those things over our children, over people, we can cause things to happen in their lives. But remember, it's God that's doing it. It's not necessarily you doing it, but it's his laws that are in effect and actually carrying out. Okay, so if you speak bad judgments, the law, which is fixed, which keeps the world spinning, it keeps, you know, the water where it should be and the ground where it should be, those laws, just like gravity, are fixed. They're in place.
Sure.
But his grace can override that.
Amen.
And we receive grace through Christ Jesus. So this is why it's so important to have the Lord in your life, that his blood, that you believe that the ultimate sacrifice that he made to give his life for his friends. And remember, what does he call us? We're a friend in Jesus, that we're friends. But to give his life for us gives us the ability to break free. So when the child starts to grow up, it's important that if they come from a situation like that, we have to break these chains. We have to break them and in order to move on and to break the cycle of events in even our grandkids' lives. Because remember, these things can be visited to third and fourth generation. So, again, God holds the father in a higher regard, a lot more responsibility, and those that responsibility is to, one, love, care, nurture, or encourage the children, two, to discipline them, teach them, hold them accountable, and draw boundaries so that they, too, once they're able to act on their own, will have some sense of what we now call morality, which is nothing more than boundaries. Okay? How far do you go before you're too far off the path and now you're in dangerous territory, danger to yourself or to others? Okay? That's why boundaries are important, so that we don't become those things. And I read now from Ephesians 6:4. So if you have your Bibles in front of you, when I teach, I like for you to have your Bibles in front of you so that you can really get the fullness of God's word working in you, because it's important that you really receive what he has for you. Okay? And that reads, and fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Again, that part tends to get pressed down and overlooked, but fathers, this is a direct commandment for fathers to not provoke their children, not provoke them to wrath, not provoke those things in them. So children have a responsibility not to judge, as well as adults, you know, but, you know, fathers have a commandment not to provoke them to anger. But we want to give love and discipline, which is a blessing in itself. Could you imagine if we had more discipline nowadays? I think a lot of the school shootings, a lot of the things or disorders that we see, the level of prisoners that we see in the prison population would go down quite considerably. So now we're going to talk a little bit about how we project our image of our dad onto God. For instance, I give a quote-unquote questions. If something bad has happened, there are children sometimes that have gone through a family and or life situation and abuses happen physically, mentally, or sexually, where other things have happened. And the question that we typically hear is, how could a loving God allow X to happen? Okay? And the result of that, especially, it's most searing to the child's conscience and most searing to their future and their life and their adult life and their family life when it happens, when it's apparent that is causing or creating that infraction against that child or sinning against God in reality. Because remember what God says to us, that the very angels, you know, of these children, God sees their faces every day. So that's a warning to anyone that harms a child, that God sees their angels every day. So when we have problems loving God, because of the world's condition, what happens is the image of an uncaring, unloving, earthly parent is projected onto God. And remember, what does God tell us? That he tells us that his ways are higher than ours. And he's not a man that he should lie.
Amen.
So if it was not that way, he would tell us. He would say it. So, again, speak truth to the lies. The lies that we believe are not necessarily the truth, but they can become our own personal truths. And as we get into future teachings, this is going to get deeper, and we're going to go really, really deep, because it can go all the way back to the period of gestation, and with gestation is where the sperm meets the egg and things happen, and even beyond that. So these things are very deeply rooted in the lives of people, and we must be sensitive to that. And that's the main reason why God tells us not to judge, because only He has full vision of every person's plight, every person's situation. So when we judge them, we don't know where we're judging them from.
Mm-hmm.
And we sin because we don't know that. And we offend God because we're taking that on as though we know it. So that's why judgments are so bad, and that's why they work against us. Amen?
Amen.
So another question that's often asked is, why doesn't He care? Why doesn't God care? Now, when people ask this question, we don't need to defend God. That's important for us to realize. We do not need to defend God. He's bigger than us. He can wholeheartedly defend Himself. We don't need to defend God. But instead, as believers in Christ, remember, we're ministering to the world, the people that really don't see God or know God because they haven't heard God. And when you haven't heard God or you can't hear Him, all He asks is that you trust His word, because He'll speak to us through His word. And as we read His word, eventually that sweet, soft voice will come back to us, and then again we'll once again be able to hear God. And for those that, I don't know, in the realm of my voice, that perhaps never heard the voice of God, remember what God says. He says, the voice of God, or the Spirit of God, is over many waters. It's over many, many waters. So the voice is there. It's just important for us to, just like you tune in a radio station, we have to tune in our spirit, our spirit man. We have to tune ourselves in so that we can hear the voice of God. And the easiest way to do that is through the reading of His word. What did God say? Whenever you're in a situation, what did God say? So we tune ourselves, and once we tune ourselves, we'll be able to hear Him a lot clearer. So, again, when people ask this question, why doesn't God care? Why doesn't He care? We don't need to defend God. God will answer that question if they ask Him that question. Okay? Because he's quick and ready to bless and to forgive.
Amen.
He's ready to do this for us. So we have to ask God that question, and He will answer it for us. But most importantly, we as believers in Christ and receiving all things through Him and in Him, we must understand that. Or what we are, our proper response is, what were your father and mother like? And again, not to offend the person, but this gives us better insight into how the shades that they were wearing, or the glasses that they were wearing, or those lenses that they're looking through, the lenses of their heart may be clouded, where they can't see God for who He really is, the goodness in Him, because these things happen. Another example, are there any questions? Feel free to call in, and Brother John can give the number once again.
Amen. The number you want to call in is 347-237-4054. If you would like to call in, if there's any questions that you may have. We have a couple that are lighting up. We have a 407-216-407. You have a question? Okay, 216-932. You have a question?
Okay, please. Yeah, I just wanted to comment that through a good lesson and a relationship with God, a love relationship with God, and serving as an example and looking at our blessings.
Amen.
So
we're going to maintain that self introspection, and as far as being a good parent and serving as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. We are examples. We are examples.
Any more comments? Any more questions, rather, 347-237-4054. We are New Beginnings Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. Again, if you hit one, automatically we'll see that microphone light up and give you an opportunity to share your question. Okay, we invite all questions. This is an interactive Bible study. We thank you for tuning in.
Hello, John.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
All right, this is Dave in Cleveland. What I wanted to comment about, where comment was made concerning kind of why does good things or bad things happen to good people, so to speak, you know, and everybody said, well, how could God allow that to happen when in actuality he is sovereign? He could, if he wanted to, intervene, but we got to understand it is our sin that is causing us to act a certain way, and it's certainly it's easy to point the finger than to look in the mirror at ourselves and to think that God is not aware of what's going on, or he should stop whatever it is that's happening, is really not looking at the situation as, you know, the way that it really is. You know, everyone has free will, and everyone is going to be held accountable for what they do. So, with that inherent free will, you know, God will allow, because he's sovereign, to let certain things happen. But it's always for his will to be demonstrated, not so much the consequence or the circumstances to present themselves, that he's uncaring, unloving, and not concerned. That is far from anything that, at least for me, I would say, God, stop this war, stop this parent from doing this, stop this guy from doing that. They have free will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So with that, you know, God is not going to stop you from doing certain things that, you know, that even though it's right or wrong, it's always going to be his outcome or the way things are going to pan out anyway. But for us to try to hold him accountable for our sinful ways. And then, once again, are we talking about those that are we talking about the saved person or the secular person? Being the secular person takes the God step in approach. The saved person, to me, relinquishes and let God handle it. That's all. I just wanted to comment on that.
Well, amen. Thank you for tuning in. You know, I mean, thank you for making that comment. Definitely make thank you for making that comment. 2164343. You have a comment?
Yeah, I understand what the last speaker was saying, but I believe that Minister Gary was talking about, from the previous teaching on bitter root judgments and the root of it. So saved or unsaved, certain things are passed down or the way that we interpret the God or leave God or come to an understanding of God is by the way that we saw our parents, and I understand that. So that's where the base comes from. The teaching tonight teaches us, though, that through forgiveness of whatever happened and whatever kind of wounding had taken place, that through forgiveness that you can be healed. And when we break those curses that may have been passed down from our parents, it's just like we talk about hurting people hurt people. So it does not necessarily mean that our parents did anything intentional or that things that happened in our lives growing up, that was something that it was intentional, that there was purpose, someone was purposely trying to hurt or or abuse this child or whatever, and in some cases it was, but it's still, even still, we can keep it for, keep from passing on those same things down to our children and our children's children by correcting it now. So if Jesus Christ died to set us free and give us life more abundantly, that covers the blood of Jesus in that, covers all of the wounding, all of the pain, all of the mistakes. And it's we're responsible, we become responsible as born-again believers of accepting that, doing it, taking part in that forgiveness, and accepting the responsibility of changing our bloodline, because our bloodline has been changed with the power, with the blood of Jesus. So that I pass down to my children should be completely different from what happened in our family before the blood of Jesus. I hope I've said that effectively.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. You're absolutely correct. That is the scope of the teaching tonight. But yeah, it's important to realize that God is sovereign over all things, and remember that we live in a fallen world. This world is fallen, and there's a real battle going on. See, in past centuries, the battles were conducted for territory. Meaning something you could physically see, World War II, okay, we want to make sure that we capture this, you know, the Siegfried Line or whatever line of battle. It was a line drawn in the sand, and we fought for it. And whoever occupied that space was the winner at the end of that battle. What has happened is the enemy has gotten pretty clever, and what he's done is he's moved that battle to the realm of the spiritual. And what we now battle for is the mind of people. See, the minds, the hearts and minds of people. See, when you capture the hearts and minds of people, you have captured that vessel, if you will, the vessel of that person. And they pretty much will do what you basically tell them to do. And that is what minor psychology calls brainwashing. And that's what happens. So the battle has moved from the physical into the spiritual, is manifesting back into the physical through control of the mind of the person. Why do bad things happen to good people? The truth is that because they're bad people in this world. And again, we have to remember that God is sovereign and that he has the last word. Perhaps that person, through that act, okay, a dangerous act, a worldly act, enacted their judgment on a person of innocence. But remember, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we, as believers, understand that if it was an innocent person, a child, that was taken off of this earth, that at the end of the day, it is God who will avenge. It is God who will repay. And this is happening each day. And he even judges the nations, poverty and things of that nature that he allows to happen. Sometimes they're judgments. And remember, God said he will not be mocked. What a man reaps, he also sows. These are judgments, but they're judgments that we inflict on ourselves. We inflict these things on ourselves through our own self-righteousness and judgments that we place. You see? So these are very, very good points and good questions that come up. And as we learn and we're able to see God more clearly, it will be much better for us to be able to see that God is really who he says he is. He is sovereign over all. You know, whether you know it be gun control, like for instance these school shootings, whether it be gun control, something that the nation should have moved on decades ago, eons ago, he will bring it to good no matter how bad it looks. He will bring it to good. He will turn it for his people. He will turn it to good. Okay. On that topic, just quickly, I'll just read, and this is from NIV version, Romans chapter 9, verse 19, for the caller that just called in. And verse 19 reads, this is Romans chapter 9, verse 19. Give me a moment to get there. And actually, let's just go a little bit further. Let's just go a little bit further up. I think this may be quite a little bit more helpful. Let's go up to verse 15. Okay, verse 15, and I'll read that. And it starts, "For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." And that's quote unquote from the mouth of God. And then verse 16 reads, "It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden." Verse 19, "One of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will?" Verse 20, "But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? So what does form say to the one who formed it? Why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use?" And we'll just play the what-if game, and God does this quite clearly in verse 22. "What if God, although choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath, prepared for destruction? What if," verse 23, "what if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory?" Verse 24, "Even us, whom he called, who he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. As he says in Hosea, verse 25, I will call them my people who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one." Okay? And I'll stop there because, again, the sovereignty of God is that these things may happen in a person's life, but he will, he may allow it. But, again, we understand that we all will have an end, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So at some point we will have an end. Unfortunately, it's cut short because of the evil that exists in this world. Okay? These evil people. God could pass judgment today and wipe it all off the earth. But how close will we be, the people that are left, the remnants that are left, how closer will we be to God? Will we then judge God and say that God was, he's a bad and mean God because he wiped all those people off the earth because they were doing evil? And even the ones that you didn't know were doing evil that looked innocent, but in the dark they were doing evil? Again, we have to work on our own inner spirit, inner self, through self-reflection, and understand that God is sovereign and he is good and he loves us. And because of the gift of free will, each person has their own free will to either love God or hate God, to do his will or to do their own will. And based on that, sin, they can sin against other people or defile other people. So we have to keep that in mind. Now, getting back to our teaching, so some others may say, I better not make a mistake or else. And in this case, when parents heap blame and fear onto a child, we may expect God to do the same. The person that makes that statement may expect that God will do the same thing. Or we may become very protective and fearful as adults. overprotective of a child, overprotective of our wives, overprotective of any other relationship. And we cannot be spontaneous and relaxed with God. So these are examples of people that have made those bitter root judgments or statements in their hearts. And again, maybe it does not have to be verbal. It could be in your own personal heart. And another question would be, why doesn't he do something? And again, if the parents have built a mold or a track for our minds to run on, we've got to realize that, or I should say that our parents built a mold or track for our minds to run on, and it runs in autopilot sometimes. And oftentimes it is when a father fails to discipline, the children may project that lack of discipline onto God. So guess what? I did this stuff, and my parents didn't beat me. They didn't chastise me. They didn't say anything. They said, just do what you want. But when they go out and they try to do that in the world, again, God set up the systems in his world for these things, to govern. He put people in power to govern so that, you remember, he's the creator. You know, he doesn't have to be the janitor and all these other things. He can do it, but when he gets involved, you will see it will be sweeping change. But he put these governments and people in power for this. And in fact, he even gave us permission to vote the people in power.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we have to self-reflect. How did we vote? What did we say? What did we do? So, you know, the burden falls back truly on us because we have free will.
Mm-hmm.
We may see God in effect. I'll say again.
I know we're getting it. It's like about 20 after. I know we have about a few more minutes. I just want to see if any more questions, you know, that you might be able to answer or entertain. Do you have a minute for that?
Sure, sure.
Okay. Do we have any questions for the listeners? Any questions as we get closer to the hour? I would hate for the show to end and you have not gotten your questions in. I have, is lighting up, 932-407, a couple of numbers that are lighting up right now. Any questions at this time? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. We'll continue. We have maybe about, we're looking at maybe about 23 after, and so we can, you know, getting closer toward the end. I just want to make you cognizant of the time. I'd hate
okay.
for them to hear any information that's left out. And the show is cut off.
Exactly. Okay, so I'll just quickly go through. So we may see God as an ineffectual God if we had an ineffectual father. Or it may be difficult to believe that God will hold us accountable for our sins and discipline us in love if our parents never disciplined us.
Mm-hmm.
So and these things are going rampant right now in society, so it's important to realize that. And I'll read from Hebrews 12:5-11 in the NIV. And God tells us, he says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those who he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God's discipline for us for our good, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." And that's Hebrews 12:5-11. And how do we bring to healing? Quickly, I'll say that we must recognize judgments, those judgments and how they affect the way we see God. Repentance is very, very important that we the things that we practice that are false in ways that we see and we reacted to God and the people, and we pray for a new heart and eyes. We also want to confess our sins against our parents to God, okay? And sometimes we have to confess our sins against that we've made against God directly. Resentments, these are coming in the forms of resentments, bitterness, judgments, and outright rebellion in extreme cases. Most importantly, we must forgive. We must forgive our parents, and in some cases, we may even have to forgive God. Mother and father are not necessarily guilty because of things that happened to us. The problem is in the heart of the child. His or her perceptions may not be accurate. By forgiving, we rid ourselves of resentments and condemnations lodged and hidden, with things which remain hidden in our hearts. And it is often not necessarily to talk with parents to accomplish forgiveness, okay? Very important to know. They may be unaware that they even hurt us or may already be deceased. So we suggest talking with them only if unhealed and open breaks remain in that relationship. But if your relationship is working, you can take it to God in spirit. If those relationships are working, if the parent is deceased, you can take it to God. God is sovereign over all. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. But most importantly, we want to choose life and have a blessed relationship with God. And what does – I'm going to read quickly from Matthew 5:8. God tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Minister Gary, that's definitely been a wonderful teaching, and we do thank you for hosting and just sharing this with us what the Lord has placed on your heart. We thank you also, the listeners that have tuned in, for supporting New Beginnings and tuning in, listening from wherever you are, and you are from so many different places. And it's just a blessing to be able to tune in together, and we invite you to tune in every Wednesday. Again, we have New Beginnings Ministries every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8:30. And we do invite you to also to look into the archives. And if you go on Blog Talk Radio, you can and that's New Beginnings, Blog Talk Radio, New Beginnings. And if you type in Begin Again, you can pull up any archive that we have, episode that we have went through and listened to it. We do invite you to do that as well. Thank you for tuning in.
I face the dawn.